Him, shout our voices, open up our hearts to receive Him. Let's all stand and open us up in a word of prayer, and we'll sing to the Lord. Father God, we give you praise, we give you thanks. Lord God, your love endures forever. And Lord God, you are there. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord God, that's why we want to sing. We want to sing as Paul was in jail, still singing to you, Lord God. So shall we continue to sing in good times and in tough times. We worship you, Lord, through music, but we worship you with our lives as well. So, Lord, all glory and honor to you. Thank you for bringing us here together, one body in Christ. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's praise the Lord God Almighty. Come on, you got to put your hands together as well as we sing to Him. Come on. worthy of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. We love you, dear God. Again, thank you for loving us first. Your word tells us you are a God, that God is love. Everything we know of you, everything we see, everything you do and don't do comes out of your love, your holiness, your grace, your mercy, your righteousness. We sing it all unto you. We sing it all. We love you. Higher than the mountains.
Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than trial and the change. This one
fails, oh God. We give you praise. We continue to focus on your love, because your love is unfailing. Never ends. We adore you, because we know of your love through your Son, Jesus. sing about. Father God, we give you praise. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise and we say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh God, our Father, we can call you that because of Jesus. Because we believe in the Son. We believe in the Savior. And we know of your great love because you gave us your Son. Oh, Jesus, that name I know. Blessed be the name of the Lord, our God. Father, thank you for loving us. But Father, something if I can share in this prayer that I read during this week. that, Lord God, you didn't reach out to us just for us. You don't love on us just for us. You didn't give your son just for us. You didn't forgive us of our sins just for us. But the ultimate is that you would receive glory and honor. And you want to hear it from your people. That as we said that first time we heard the gospel and we said, yes, we believed, you got the glory. And as we continue to live our lives for you, as we believe in Jesus, you will continue to get the glory. Oh God, our Father, how great thou art. You, oh Lord, are in control from beginning to end. Even when things doesn't make sense, places or positions in life we are, it doesn't make sense, you are in control. And we follow your lead by listening to the Spirit and the example of Christ. Lord God, how can we not give you praise? How can we not give thanks to the Lord for his love endures forever? Remind us, oh God, constantly. As the words of Paul, when I am weak, then he is strong. Then we are strong, God, because of the Lord in us, Christ in us, the Holy Spirit. Continue to move us and stir us for your glory. Father, you have a great big plan, and it involves those who are here this morning and those who couldn't be here. But there's even a bigger plan for those you have already reached. And you want us, the church, to go so that you can draw them to yourself through the gospel, the good news of Christ. Let us be excited about Jesus. And let's listen to the words as I end. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will obey. We live not by the letter of the law, but by the love of the Spirit of God. How is it we don't obey? Jesus said, if you love me. And our pastor keeps saying, our pastor keeps saying over, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. The second is like it, love your neighbors, you love yourself. Let us receive the unconditional love, but let us give it to others. Let's not be selfish, but selfless, as God was selfless to give his Son, our Savior. So, Father, we give you all the glory and honor. We say thanks to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I know that in our own congregation, we have some things going on, some who are experiencing difficulty. Darren Olasso just lost his mom this week, so we need to be in prayer for the Olasso family as they go through this time of grief. Others are going through various kinds of struggles, so let's not forget to really lift each other up in prayer. You know, as we come together to worship the Lord, I have two things every Sunday that I want you to walk away with. One is an increased, a super increased love for Jesus Christ. I pray that every time you come here, you walk away with a greater love for Jesus. The second thing that I really desire you to have in your life is that every time you come here, every time you walk away with a deeper love and appreciation and commitment to the Word of God. The Word of God is so very important. We are not here to try and make the Word of God fit into your life. So try to move it around, you know, and try to make it fit. No. Dear people, what we need to do is we need to make our lives fit to the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God needs to shape us. The Word of God needs to empower us, making us into the people that would truly love Jesus Christ the way we need to. And so it is with that desire this morning that we continue this study in the book of Philippians. And we're looking at today honoring Jesus. How many of you want to honor Jesus with your life? Okay, good. I'm glad to see that. If you didn't raise your hand, I would be thinking, we're in trouble. But We all want to honor Jesus. And therefore, I want you to listen very carefully. And it's okay if you get mad at me. It's okay if you even belittle me. But my prayer is that you will always honor Jesus, always honor the Word. So it is with that hope that I come this morning and try to bring this message to you. First point here is, we're looking at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. First point is benefits and responsibilities. Okay, there are benefits in being a Christian, but along with the benefits comes responsibility. Look at verses 1 and 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort for him from his love? Excuse me. Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. This passage, verses 1 and 2, is something that when I was studying through this, I wanted to just kind of quickly run over and just kind of make sure that I read it so that we covered it. But I couldn't get away from just doing that. I want you to realize this passage talks about, A, the benefits of a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. The benefits of a committed relationship with Jesus Christ. Those of you who have committed your life to Jesus Christ, have you experienced benefit in your relationship with Christ? Quite a bit of benefit? Let me just name three that I am experiencing and have experienced, am experiencing, and expect to continue to experience. And this is in no sense an exhaustive list, but it's really just three that I can say to you really impact my life. One, a life without regrets. How many of you want a life without regrets? I certainly yearn for that. I have a life without regrets most of the time. Let me explain that. I do have regrets, but whenever those regrets occur in my life, it is always when I either take my eyes off of Jesus and disobey him, or I misunderstand and misread him. There are never regrets when I obey him, especially when I lovingly obey him. There's never regrets when I follow his leading. Have any of you ever experienced regret when you have lovingly obeyed him? That's not only my benefit. That's the benefit of many others here. Number two, never being alone. Never being alone. I know that he is always there with me, and he always desires to spend time in a sweet, intimate relationship with me. But loneliness does impact my life whenever I choose not to seek him. You know, it's kind of like he's there, but when I choose not to seek him, it's like I turn my back on him and I'm thinking, oh, I'm so lonely. And he's right there. He's right there. Whenever I desire, he is always there. I don't even have to beg him for that relationship, because that's a relationship that he already desires for me to have. I just got to repent of my sin and turn to him. Because when I am living in my sin, I turn my back on him. Therefore, I am never alone. And then there is number three, a deep sense of fulfillment. Being worthy. How many of you have ever felt unworthy? Like you were good for nothing. Yeah. In Christ, you don't have to feel like that. There is always a deep sense of fulfillment and worthiness. There is no greater joy than to know that I have been used by the Lord for His glory and His honor. Bringing glory to Jesus is far more rewarding than fulfilling and bringing honor to me, to yourself. When I'm seeking to bring glory and honor to myself, I may do that. I remember one time winning a trophy that literally stood this high. Clarice, you remember that trophy? And you remember, it seemed like a great honor to win that trophy. That wasn't for church work, by the way. But that trophy was huge. But didn't we have a problem with that trophy? Where were we going to put it? And you know, so we put it up on I think we elevated it. Every time it came time to dusting it, you had to risk your life to get up there and dust it from the top down. And then, I don't even know what we did with it. We must have thrown it away. Because I don't know where it is today. That great honor, here today, gone tomorrow, you know. But the honor that Christ gives you is an eternal honor. It does not leave you. You gain much by being worthy in His eyes. You are most fulfilled when you are seeking after the Lord. So therefore, benefits of a relationship with Christ. For me, there's many, but three that I want to point out to you is life with no regrets, never being alone, and a deep sense of fulfillment and worthiness. There is deep benefits in a committed relationship with Christ. If you're not experiencing that, I would say to you this. That is something you need to be experiencing and you can experiencing. You just got to conquer self. Okay? But when there is deep benefits, there will also be deep responsibilities. So there is the sense of being appreciative and responsible to Jesus. Being appreciative and responsible to Jesus because of the benefits that He has blessed you with. In verse 2a, it says this, then make me truly happy. Then make me truly happy. That is really a sign of showing appreciation when you can make the Lord happy. Give Him joy. If you want to honor someone, don't just give them something. Do something that will bring them honor. Bring them joy. Dear people, if you love Jesus, seek to bring Him joy. That's what Jesus was saying here. Then make me happy. The latter part of verse 2, it says this, by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Did I go blind just now? Okay. I made me lose my place. Verse 2. I found it. Okay. So, this says we can bring joy to Him by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. You see, dear people, agreeing, loving, and working with one mind and purpose with each other is really demonstrating our responsibility to Christ. Okay. Now, you hear what this is saying? Agreeing, loving, and working with one another. Can you agree, love, and work together all by yourself? Cannot, right? You got to be in union with others. You got to be in union with others. If you think You can have a spectacular life in Christ without anybody else around you. You got a lot to learn, dear people. You have to be united with others of like faith, like commitment. And you need to move together to bring glory and honor unto Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this, dear people. Those of you who are members of Valley Isle Fellowship, and just because you come to Valley Isle Fellowship doesn't make you a member. There is a process to go through in order to become a member. But those of you who are members, you supposedly have a higher commitment to Valley Isle Fellowship. But let me tell you this, dear people. All of you who are members, we all need to be working in love, in agreement, and of one mind in lifting up Jesus Christ as Lord, Master, and Savior. Not lifting up Valley Isle Fellowship, but lifting up Jesus Christ. Okay, really important that you understand that. We are not here to build Valley Isle Fellowship into a super church. We are here to build each other into super Christians that lift up Jesus Christ. So Jesus would receive all the glory and the honor. If he can receive glory and honor through us, great. But that is not our goal. You know why, dear people? If we work towards getting Valley Isle Fellowship to be a great, great church, and that's our goal, to have Valley Isle Fellowship be a great church, you're going to really hurt yourself, because pride is going to be a big issue for you. And in Proverbs, it says, pride comes before the what? Fall. We're going to fall. Because our pride is misplaced. It's put in the church and not in Jesus. Our pride needs to always be centered in Jesus Christ. So it is really important that we get together to love each other, to agree with each other, and to work with each other. You cannot do it on your own. Cannot. Okay. So you're going to find us encouraging you to come together. One of the events coming up this week is at Trunk or Treat. And Chanley was saying we need a sign up for those to make sure we have enough cars. Do you know what that is about? Trunk or Treat. We want you to volunteer you and your car and create in your trunk space something that will be glorious to the Lord but would minister to the children. And you can find out more about that by talking to Stephen. Okay, but we're talking about having need of a lot of different other volunteers. Because if you're volunteering in one of the other areas, like in parking or security or in refreshments, you can't be out there doing the trunk thing too. So we're going to need a whole lot of people to minister. We need to agree with each other. We need to love each other. We need to work with each other to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? We intend for each child to go home from this event, for each family to go home from this event with a gospel presentation being made to them, or at least the gospel being handed to them. It is so important that we realize he is asking us to come together. And then, item number two, this passage is calling for us to be Christ-like, to be Christ-like. Anybody know what Christ-like means? Love, okay? Anybody else? What's that? Deny yourself. Anybody else? What's that? Humble. Let me put it to you this way. Christ-like means Christ-like. Being like Jesus. You need to make it more complicated than that. What was Jesus like? Like what you guys all said. And more. You need to be lifting up Jesus. He needs to be your example. Be like him. If you try to be like me, you're going to be in big trouble. Be like Jesus and you'll be fine. We need to be like Jesus. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is Christ's likeness. This is what being like Jesus is all about. Let me tell you this. This Christ-like character should characterize you. Whenever you are demonstrating these qualities, and you are not trying to do it, okay? This Christ-like quality will demonstrate you when you're demonstrating all of these qualities and you're not even trying to. Okay, they become so much a part of you that you're being Christ-like and you're not even trying. That's the goal. That you do it without even trying. That's how much this needs to just work itself within us. Now, you look at this and some people say, well, that's weakness. That's weakness. Maybe weakness as far as the world is concerned, but I don't care what the world says. Do you? I care what Jesus says. And he looks at this as real strengths. It is real strength to be like Jesus. You see, because what this is really telling us to do is for us to be A, selfless. Selfless, A. Selflessness. B, compassionate. C, humble. Selflessness, compassionate, and humble. Aren't those great qualities? Put your hand up like this, like it was a mirror. Do you see those qualities in you? Or do you see your fingers? We need to see Christ within us. Because others need to see Jesus in us. They need to see Jesus alive and well within us. Now, I want you to look at this passage of Scripture, verses 3 to 8. Look at it in your Bibles. I want to ask you this question. As you read through that, does it look like Paul is saying that these qualities just automatically appear in your life? Magically and mystically appear without you trying to do anything about it. Do they automatically appear? That's not the sense I get in here. It says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble. And it goes on, right? It seems to me like Paul is approaching these characteristics as a work to do. A work to do on your part. You have to work at it. Let me ask you this. You have to work at placing others before you? Or do you have to work at placing yourself ahead of others? I don't have to work at placing myself ahead of others. That's natural. When Clarice is not home and there's an extra piece of pie in the refrigerator, it probably is not going to be there when she gets home. If it's there, it's because I've worked really hard to place her before me. You get the idea I'm trying to share with you? Placing others before you is hard. We need to work at it, right? We need to work at it. Your convenience, your comfort, easy to place out in front. Placing the Lord out in front, not so easy. So, being selfless, compassionate, and humble is something that we're going to have to really, really work hard at. Okay? All of these things, you're going to have to constantly come before the Lord. Let me tell you why. Excuse me. I don't know why this is happening, but bear with me, okay? I don't know why it is so difficult for us to serve the Lord the way we should. I think we've got too many things around us that grab for our attention. And we give ourselves to those things. And when we give ourselves to those things that seek for our attention, I think we have a hard time giving up. Oh, Chris, thank you. Thank you very much. If I kick that to you, that's... So many things around us that grab for our attention. And we have to fight to make sure we're not trapped. You know, George, you remember when we were doing construction here, we had all those chickens here? And you trapped all but one. How'd you trap them? Trap. What you put in the trap? You know what he was doing? He was putting things into the trap that would attract them. And that's exactly what Satan does with us. He puts traps all around us to grab our attention so that we would take our attention off of Christ. And you give yourself to those things and you'll find the trap being pulled and you being trapped. That's what happens to many, many, many Christians. We're just not working on trying to be the things that God wants us to be, the people that God desires us to be. Just not working on it. So, selflessness, compassionate, humble. Not easy, but we got to work on it. Got to keep focused on it. Number three. Honored. This passage of scripture tells us that Jesus was honored. But why? Look at 9 through 11. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God, of God the Father. Tremendous passage of scripture. Tremendous. This says that God honored Jesus. Why? The honor came because Jesus fulfilled everything that God set before him. He was the perfect example for us. The perfect example for us to follow. And therefore, he became the perfect sacrifice. Then finally, because he followed through in being the perfect sacrifice, God honored him. See, wasn't easy for Jesus to be the perfect example. He got attacked just like you and I get attacked. Satan tried to distract him in so many different ways, just like he tries to distract you and I. And he worked hard on being the person that God wanted him to be. So he became the perfect sacrifice. He became the perfect example. And because he was the perfect example, that meant that he was also the perfect sacrifice. He was prepared to be the perfect sacrifice. Not only was he prepared to be the perfect sacrifice, he was the perfect sacrifice. See, he had to start by being that example so he could be that perfect sacrifice. And then he was that perfect sacrifice. You see, dear people, because Jesus was willing to do all of that, God honored him. From dying a death of a criminal on the cross, being buried in a borrowed tomb, he rose to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Master and Savior. God raised him to a place of honor because he fulfilled everything that God wanted him to do. Now, this passage goes on and says, because he's at that place. This passage of scripture says that all will confess Jesus is Lord. Everybody going to confess Jesus is Lord. How many of you are praying for some people that you think, oh man, this guy's impossible. This lady's impossible. They never going to come to know the Lord. You praying for anybody like that? You know, if they go to the grave and they don't confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will confess him as Lord and Savior. Because this passage of scripture says that at the name, this is verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ. Now, some people have misunderstood this to mean that everybody's going to be a Christian. Everybody's going to be saved. I want to tell you, there's going to be two kinds of people that are going to be bowing and confessing Jesus as Lord. Those who are in deep, deep sorrow. Because they're going to be bowing and confessing Jesus as Lord to Jesus, who they have rejected all through their life. They're going to be in deep sorrow. And there's going to be people who will be in deep joy. Deep joy. Because they have trusted Jesus. And now Jesus has finally and ultimately proved himself to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You see, dear people, every knee will bow. There are so many people in our country today who are trying to shame Jesus and all of his followers. You know how you should feel about them? Don't feel angry at them. Yeah, feel sorry for them because they're going to face his judgment. In fact, feel so sorry for them, realize that they're heading for hell, and hell is real, that you begin to pray for their salvation. Pray that some of these who are the vilest offenders in trying to blast Jesus will turn and repent. Because if they don't, they're going to spend eternity in hell. And I tell you, dear people, I don't have to describe hell to you except just to say this. If you knew what hell was really like, you wouldn't want your worst enemy to be there. So pray for them to repent and turn to Jesus. So very important. You see, God honored Jesus to the point where everyone's going to confess him as Lord. But there's going to be two types. The one who rejoices in him and the one who has great sorrow because they rejected him. The last point, point four. Being pleasing and honoring Jesus. Verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you. And now I am away. It is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my faith, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful servants is an offering to God, and I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. This passage of scripture, I think Paul was speaking out of his pastor's heart, because I think every pastor has this desire. First point here, near and far accountability. You know how some people, they do well if you're the boss, as long as you're looking at them. As soon as you turn your back on them, they're doing all kind of stuff they're not supposed to. I'm not talking about anybody in this room, okay? I'm talking about people out there. We don't do that in here, do we? You know, over the last few weeks, Clarice has had to spend a lot of time outside of our home because of my son-in-law situation. So she's been spending days away, and she's going to leave this afternoon again. I got to really resist while the cat's away, the mice will play. That whole concept, yeah? I have to learn this concept, near and far accountability. That whether somebody is looking at me or they're far away, that I will still live a life of accountability. I will still live a life that will be pleasing unto the Lord. Lord, you cannot see me. You're too far away, so I can do this. No, he can. Yeah. Every pastor wants to see that when he leaves the church continues to do what God wants them to do. Then he knows that he has developed a faith in the people, or he's contributed to it, to a life in the people where their dependence is on Jesus, not on him. So very important that we understand that. Purpose-driven church concept that Rick Warren pushed, this is really a part of that. That we build the church on purpose, not on personalities. That we don't build it on any person here, but on the purposes that Christ has given us. There is no purpose greater than to love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And to love others as you love yourself. If we can ingrain that into you, that's all we need to do. Because everything will work out. If you love Jesus with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and you love others the way you love yourself, God has an open channel to you to guide you and move you in the directions that he wants you to go. And you will be pleasing unto him in every way. You see, we are completely capable of pleasing him, and that's B. We are completely capable of pleasing him. Philippians 2:14 through 16 says, do everything, everything without complaining and arguing. Can you do that? Have you done that? You can do that, but have you done that? Now, this says, do. It's not saying, oh, man, I really want you to do this. This is a command, isn't it? Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. And then it says, live clean, innocent lives. Don't make excuses, but live clean and innocent lives as the children of God. shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Now, I got to really speak to you guys hard about this. You cannot do it behind the curtain. You got to live your life clean and pure and holy before everybody else that's around you. You really need to have this prayer in your life. Lord, help me today not to bring shame to you, but to bring glory and honor to you. In everything I think, do, and say, let me bring glory and honor to you, and please, Lord, not shame. You know what that's really saying is we've got to live like this so that he can really receive glory. And then in verse 16, hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of God. We live in a world that is really mixed up and messed up. We have churches today that are saying what the Bible calls sin is not sin. Dear people, you cannot change the word of God. The word of God is what it is. Let me give you one case in point. Homosexuality is a sin. Okay? But dear people, sometimes we will only go that far to recognize that it's sin, and we fail to realize what the scripture says about how do we deal with those who are homosexual. You remember what I told you earlier? Two things that I want you to do. Love Jesus with all of your heart, mind, and soul. And there was a second. What was the second one? Does that include the homosexual? You bet you. You cannot hate them. You need to love them. You need to love everyone who is a sinner and help to love them out of their sin. Okay? We got to take the whole word of God. Hold firmly to the word of life. And then it says, then on the day of Christ's return, listen to what this says. I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. You see what I'm saying here, dear people? We got to call sin, sin. Do you know that gluttony is a sin? You know what gluttony is? Eating too much pie. Okay. There was only one piece in there. That's not too bad. Eating too much is a sin. And you know what? In Scripture, it does not say whether gluttony is a worse sin than homosexuality. They're the same. How many of you have ever lied? Oh, it might have been a white lie. How many of you have ever told a white lie? You know, the Lord says that's sin. One of the main reasons I don't drink alcoholic beverages is because of my, I'm trying to keep intact my witness to the world around me. Now, I don't believe that Scripture tells me not to take, to abstain from alcohol. But I believe Scripture says don't be drunk. But you know what? I've never taken, I have had alcohol, but it's always been in cough syrup. I've never had an alcoholic drink. You know, one of the things that scares me about taking a drink is I might be one of those who are prone to alcoholism, and all it takes is one drink. There are people in our world like that, and therefore, that's why I don't take alcohol for my witness, because I don't want to be saying to people, it's okay to take, and they take, and they become an alcoholic. When we do Lord's Supper in this church, dear people, we use grape juice, non-fermented grape juice, because we don't want to contribute. And I don't think we do violence to the whole Lord's Supper analogy there. I think we hold true to it. But you understand what I'm saying? We've got to hold on to the Word of God completely and totally. Now, VIF, we're trying to be obedient to Jesus. And we're trying to be obedient to Jesus by encouraging cooperative opportunities. Now, let me say this to you. We believe that it's our responsibility as a church and as church leaders to give you, the people, the opportunity to grow in Christ. So we give these opportunities. Now, let me say this to you, because you're not going to like this. But because we give these opportunities to you, each one of you is going to be held accountable to the opportunities that you have been provided and whether you've taken of it or not. Okay? So as a church, we provide small discipleship groups. Less than 50% of our church take part in that. We provide worship services regularly, Sunday morning and Sunday evening. Sunday morning, our service is growing. Sunday night, our service is shrinking. It's a very good service when we have 12 people here on Sunday night. Some cannot come Sunday morning because they work. So we provide that opportunity. But you know, on Sunday night, what are you doing on Sunday night? If you are loving and serving the Lord and whatever you're doing on Sunday night, then praise God. Praise God for that. But if you're home watching TV, that favorite program, got good programs on Sunday night. It's one of those distractions. It's one of those kinds of things that George put in the trap to catch those birds. It's one of those things that Satan puts in your life to get you distracted from the Lord. And so, Sunday nights, we keep on going. And there have been times when there has been me and one other person, but we keep on going. Monday evening prayer meeting. Prayer. How many of you would say prayer is very important? Can't tell by the number of people that come on Monday night. Again, on Monday night, it's good if we have a group of 8 on Monday night. And yet we've got critical things going on before us. Do you know that a lot of the things that God does in ministry is preceded by people who are powerfully praying? And it could be that we don't have a church that is praying. We don't know how powerful this church is in prayer, but if we were to judge it by Sunday night, this church is weak, very weak. We have age-graded Bible study following this service. The children, we have programs for the children. We have even programs for adults, but many people don't take part in that. We also have, in the last year, we've had men and women's ministries. Lonnie, about how many women come on a... Pam, about how many women come? A dozen? 15? I think you've had as much as 30, I think, one time. Shannon, how many men come on? If you get a dozen, that's a good number. Okay. You see, what I'm saying is many opportunities are given, but not many take advantage of them. Okay. Because the church offers them, you're going to be held accountable for what you take part in. Now, I'm not trying to shame you into coming. I'm trying to make you aware that those opportunities are there. And I want you to also know that the Lord is going to hold you accountable for those things. Really important that you realize that. I'd hate for you to reach the judgment seat of Christ And then he says, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And he said, I didn't know. Well, my job is to let you know. Okay. And then we are trying to also encourage you in your personal growth. What you do in private. We want you to have a daily personal prayer time. Daily. We want you to have personal daily devotions. Not just on Sunday, but every day. Have your own time of devotions with the Lord. Every day have your own Bible study time with the Lord. And every day be applying what you know the Word of God says to your life. Every day applying those things. Your personal growth is so very important. And we want to encourage you into personal ministries. Get involved in ministries that the Lord leads you to. Don't get involved in the things we, the church, said you should be involved in. You pray. Ask the Lord to lead you. And you get involved. You get involved wherever the Lord may lead you. Now, you need to realize also, finally, that you need to be rejoicing regardless of what the circumstances may be around you. Rejoice regardless of what the circumstances may be around you. Verse 17, it says, but I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. And the last verse, verse 18, yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. You see, rejoicing is dependent on the pleasure of Jesus. It's dependent on the pleasure of Jesus, not on earthly circumstances. Okay? Your earthly circumstance can be an impediment, can be hindering you, but it doesn't have to rule you. Your love for Jesus needs to be the thing that rules you, not earthly circumstances. Rejoicing, your rejoicing will also impact others. Man, if I can be rejoicing in the Lord, and there's death and destruction all around me, that can be used of the Lord for His glory and honor. I've heard of things like that happening with the hurricanes that have hit. I've heard of that happening with the Las Vegas shootings. I've heard of that happening in the midst of the fires that are still continuing in California. People whose earthly circumstances is horrific, but their joy in the Lord is ministering to others and giving them hope. You and I need to be rejoicing in the Lord no matter what the earthly circumstances may be. No matter what the earth circumstances may be. And our rejoicing in those circumstances can impact others to a joy in Christ that they have never experienced before. Dear people, we need to honor Jesus by living a life that is difficult, but it's possible. It's hard if you do it on your own. But if you depend on Him, He can make your life count for Him. You want your life to count for Him? Let Him take control. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask that our ushers come forward as we pray. Father, we thank You and we praise You. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Heavenly Father, help us to bring glory and honor unto You. And Lord, it may come through the most difficult times of our life. But Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You. Help us to keep our hopes up high, because our hopes depends on Your promises. And Lord, help us to rejoice in You always. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would use our lives for your kingdom's glory. Father, if there's someone here today that has not come to that point of really turning their lives over to you, Lord, I pray that right now, in their own hearts, they just bow to you and give their lives to you. And Lord, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Lord, we ask that you take these gifts that are about to be given. Use them for your kingdom's glory. Bless the giver that their lives might be marvelously and wonderfully used of you. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.